Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello there, Stephen Peters here with Dr. Rob Zammit. And welcome to the first episode of The Doggy Pod.
And we hope you enjoy The Doggy Pod, because I mean, they say dogs are not our whole life, but I'll tell you what, they make our lives whole. So we hope you love The Doggy Pod.
Well put, Dr. Rob. This is a show all about dogs, how to look after them, how to train them, what to feed them, and really, just why we love them so much. On today's show, our celebrity dog breed is the Portuguese Water Dog. Two of them, in fact, and they're owned by one of the most famous families in the world. We're going to talk about how often you should bath your dog. Why does my dog sniff every other dog's bum? And most importantly right now, can my dog get coronavirus? But before we get into that, Rob, the clinic, what happened at the vet clinic this week?
I'll tell you what, it was like an episode of Starsky and Hutch for you old folks like me, or a police show or police academy. Seriously, sirens were blaring coming down the driveway and there was a car in front. Before the man got out of his car, the police came out of their car with guns drawn. I was taken aback because I'd come out to see what was going on. I thought, uh-oh, the gentleman jumped out with his dog. Unfortunately, his dog was shaking like crazy because the dog had eaten snail bait. So we will talk about dogs and poisons and things, but the police understood, gave him a fair warning. They were pretty fair about it.
So why would your dog eat snail bait? Is there something tasty in it?
Very much so. It's bran based and it tastes, you know, just like a nice cooked crispy biscuit. So they attracted to it. Snail baits, some of them have on it, are not attractive to dogs. They make it specially so it's not attractive to your pets. But then there's a rider on it underneath. But if your dog eats it, make sure you take it away. All snail baits are attractive to dogs. And if a dog eats it, it's an organophosphate poisoning. That means they start them seizuring and they keep seizuring until they die. That dog had to be put into a coma. We did it with an anesthetic called propofol, which is the same anesthetic they use on you and I. We then put a tube down his throat, put him on a ventilator and kept him anesthetized, would you believe, for 24 hours before we could let him wake up fully. We had to lavage, or if you like, wash out his stomach, and had to do the same at the other end because he'd been eating this for quite a few hours, and get as much of the snail bait out as possible, give him an antidote, and then put him on an intravenous drip to give him supportive therapy while we got him through it. Not all dogs are as lucky as this one. He did make it, but keep well away from snail bait in your garden if your dog can access it. Please don't use it.
Seems to make sense to me, to be honest, but
later in the show, Dr. Rob talks to one of Australia's most famous and enduring personalities about his life with his dogs, none other than all-round good guy Ray Martin.
Before we get on to coronavirus,
yes,
a quick chat about that. I just want we're going to have a little quiz each week, which we'll give you the answers to later in the show. So our first quiz is, you have a choice of A, B, C or D. What is the oldest dog breed in the world? Is it A, German Shepherd,
B, an Irish wolfhound, C, a Saluki, or D, a Norwegian, is it Lunderhund? How do you pronounce that?
Lapphund.
Lapphund.
Norwegian Lapphund.
So A, German Shepherd, B, an Irish wolfhound, C, a Saluki, or D, a Norwegian
Lapphund.
What Rob said. We'll give you the answer to that later in the show. Now, let's just talk, if we can, Rob, about coronaviruses, because I know a lot of people would be worried, can my dog get COVID-19?
No. There's no
good to
evidence.
Hear. Good to
no
hear.
Evidence that dogs can get COVID-19. That's not to say that they don't have their own brand of coronavirus. Coronavirus in dogs, the canine coronavirus, causes stomach upset. It causes a lot of diarrhea, which has to be, of course, treated. But the good news for dog owners is that your dog can be vaccinated against that virus. Your dog can have a coronavirus vaccine. It's readily available, and your veterinarian can start that straight away. If your dog has not been vaccinated against it, go and see your veterinarian about a coronavirus vaccine. But COVID-19, there is absolutely no evidence that dogs can neither catch this nor carry it from one person or another.
So dogs have been getting a version of coronaviruses for years.
Yes, quite a long time. As usual, dogs are way ahead of humans, and they've developed a vaccine for themselves. So it's pretty good. One interesting thing about this, talking about COVID-19, is what they're doing with dogs in the UK. They are training dogs to pick up people that have the virus, even before the person has a fever, even before the person shows any symptoms. The dog can pick up that, you've got COVID-19 coming in. Can you believe that?
How does that work? How does the dog do that?
Well, through their sense of smell. They have a sense of smell thousands of times better than humans. And there are dogs already trained to pick up cancers in human. The human goes by and the dog will smell it, know straight away and say, yep, this is where to look for a cancer. And so, doctors can start honing in. Sometimes you can do a blood test on, say, a human being, say, look, you've got a cancer somewhere in your body. We're not too sure where. Dogs can actually hone in almost on the part. And I've had that happen in the clinic with my clients where they said the dog kept nosing into one spot all the time on my body. I went to the doctors and sure enough, they found a cancer there and the dog saved my life. Dogs can pick up people that have malaria because they exude a different smell as well. So before your blood test, the dog can tell you, mate, you've got to go and get yourself tested for malaria and treated for malaria because you've got incoming. And yes, the UK government are taking this very serious. They've put £500,000 to training dogs to pick up COVID-19. So long before you have to have a thermometer inserted into your body or a light shine on your forehead to tell you how hot you are, your dog, trained properly, will be able to tell you if you've got problems coming in with COVID-19.
All the more reason why we should all have a dog, I reckon.
Well, look, they are amazing creatures, are they not?
Now, while we're talking about dogs and their ability to sniff, what is the story? Why do dogs always go and sniff another dog's bum? It's pretty much the first thing they do.
The back of a dog, on his tail, on the top of the tail, there are scent glands.
At the end of the tail?
About halfway or about third of the way down the tail. There's a little, if you have a look at any dog, you'll notice a little triangle of unusual hairs on there. They'll often be stiffer. Some dogs have a little ball patch in that area, almost very thin, because the dog has what's called supracaudal gland, or some people call it violet glands, but they're basically their scent glands. They exude a sense of smell, and they're a little bit like, to another dog, they're a fingerprint. They know that dog's smell, and also the dog will exude slightly different smells if he's scared or aggressive or whatever. Those glands exude a sense of different oils, and it can be slightly varying from even within a dog. And it can be saying, look, I'm quite friendly. I'm not aggressive. Everything's well with the world. And they communicate through these smells that they exude to each other. And so they come up to our bottoms and say, what smell have you got? I can smell there's something there, because they know. We don't realise, but maybe we need to be a bit clever in that department.
So the tail itself is what actually gives off a scent, is that what you're saying?
There are two areas. There is a part, the glands are on the tail, yes, on the tail itself. And of course, under the tail, near the opening of the bottom of the dog, there are two glands.
You can say bum.
There are two glands called anal glands. They secrete a lot of really nasty smells from that area. Anal glands, territorial, fear, they express them if they're scared. They will let go of those anal glands when they're scared and to try and distract an aggressor towards them. And so there's two areas, but very often it's just those scent glands on the tail that they're smelling each other to see, who are you?
So for us, what might be something as a human would be quite rude, for them it's it's pretty much, hi, how are you going?
Yeah, they're shaking hands.
Sort of mood are you in today?
Yep, exactly. They're shaking nose and tail. They look at us and think, oh my gosh, shake their heads, I think, at times, the things that we do. And they sometimes do not understand us, I guess, because we don't even understand each other.
Because I know we're going to talk about this in future episodes, but, I mean, dogs can really sense humans' feelings, can't they?
Oh, yeah, very much. They're very attuned, not just to our sense of smell that we exude. You know, if we're a little bit frightened, we will have a different sense of smell. But there's also little tiny nuances that we do that we don't pick up on that the dog can. The dog will see the way we're sitting, the way we're posturing, you know, our eyes. You know, how big our eyes are, how much our eyes might be drooping, our lips, everything. They pick up on it straight away. And you'll see it. I mean, people that own dogs will tell you, yes, I was really sad and my dog just kept very quietly nudging me so that, cheering me up. And nothing cheers anybody up like a dog wanting a pat. If you can't cheer up when you're patting a dog, you know that your blood pressure drops just when you're patting a dog?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. If you're having blood pressure problems, go and find your dog and give it a pat. Your blood pressure, scientists will tell you, blood pressure drops straight away. Heart rate drops straight away. And we all know if you have depression, get yourself a dog. It really can help.
Of course, for some time now, we've been taking dogs to retirement villages and places like that because they're such a great comfort for older people that may not have a lot else happening in their lives.
Oh, yeah. Look, that's very, very important. And don't they look forward to it, those people? I do that as well. I go to some hospitals, and your dog has to be passed. You know, your dog has to be healthy. It has to have the right temperament. You don't want to take a dog in there that's going to jump on someone that's over-exuberant. You don't want to take a dog in there that's going to be aggressive and bite someone, of course. Mm. It's got to be a nice dog that's laid back and loves being patted by everybody. And they just cheer everybody up. In nursing homes, when you take your dog in, and I've certainly done that many times, everybody comes out and wants to pat the dog and be with the dog, or some people even want to take the dog for a walk. It's just unconditional love. I mean, what do they say? The dog is the only person that will love you more than anyone else for their whole life.
Now, while we're talking about our dogs and smelling and everything else, I had to give my dog a bath yesterday, which I've been doing sort of weekly lately because for some reason she's been extra smelly. Now, she seems to quite enjoy it, but I don't know that that's the same with all dogs, enjoying a bath.
No, it's how they're introduced to it in the first place, and to some extent the breed. There are certain breeds, and we'll talk about the breed later on in this episode, that does love the water. But if you introduce any dog properly to baths, then it's a lot of fun. Some people say, oh, give them treats while you bath. Yeah, if your dog is turned on by food. Not all dogs like treats. There are other ways that you can train your dog to enjoy a bath, and it's important because, as you said, at the moment, the weather has been moist, and so the bacteria, your dog's skin picks up some of that moisture and the bacteria grow, and that's what the smell is. It's bacteria that's causing the smell on your dog, and we like to get rid of it because we don't want your dog to get infected with those bacteria. It's very important that we wash them and, you know, what we might want to wash them with. You can use some of the doggy soaps. You can also use, and I use this quite frequently when in bad weather, when it's a lot of smell around, I use like an iodine wash, not pure iodine, not iodine that you mix with the water, but there are iodine washers. Surgeons use it. We use it all the time when we scrub our hands before surgery because it kills fungus and bacteria. And so an iodine wash can often be a good thing. You can pick some up at some pet shops will have them. They'll sell them a lot for other animals like horses, and they work quite well on
your
dog.
So if you went to a pet shop and asked for an iodine wash?
They might have to get it in for you. Right. Most good pet shops will know about it. Really good pet shops will actually stock it.
Is there anything we shouldn't use to wash our dogs?
I've had people use some very caustic products. You know, remember, your dog's skin is more sensitive than yours. Our skin's not covered with fur all over. Theirs is. So it's pretty sensitive. Be very aware of what you're using on your dog. Any of the big cleaning products, the disinfectants and things, don't use them.
What about human shampoos?
Some of the human shampoos can be very irritant. So I would talk to your veterinarian, or I'll tell you the other good person that people bypass all the time, the veterinary nurse or the veterinary technician. They are brilliant people, well-trained, and they can guide you as to what might be good to wash your dog in. In Australia, we have a particular shampoo that I do recommend made for humans. It's called Selsun Gold or Selsun Blue, but I tell people to get the Selsun Gold. Selsun Gold used to be called Selene, and it was made for dogs and cats. But then someone found it was better to market it for the human market, which is a bigger market, and so they stopped making it for dogs. But sometimes dogs with itchy skin, I'll tell people, try some Selsun Gold and see if that helps.
Okay, now, a couple of days ago, Rob caught up with well-known journalist, presenter, multiple Gold Logie winner. He's tried his hand at comedy, and he's even had his portrait featured on an Australian stamp. None other than Ray Martin, and dogs have always played a big part in his life.
You've won awards for doing really great interviews and great jobs, but what has always come through since the midday show and every other time I've seen you, your compassion and love with animals especially. You've got a great affinity with animals. I've seen it when they've come onto your show. What's it like in real life? What's your dog like? Tell us about him.
Yeah, it's my daughter's dog, and I claim that he's mine. It's a border collie. His name is Jed, and he's now 6 years old. A tri-coloured border collie too, which is really unusual. We had some doubts. We thought someone might have jumped the fence before he was born, and we confirmed with the Border Collie Association. They said, no, absolutely border collie, and which is good. But he's the most beautiful dog. Far too smart for human things. The funny thing is, when he comes across to our house, if my daughter and our grandson stays with us overnight, as they often do, he makes a beeline for my bed, and my daughter refers to him as a traitor. That she looks after all the time, and then he comes, next thing he's on my bed. He's the most beautiful dog. So I walk him a lot and run him. He's such an active dog that you've got to do him at least once or twice a day. I'm just about to take him out for a walk now.
You've had quite a few dogs too over the years, haven't you?
As a kid, I grew up in the bush, and so I always had a Kelpie. And when we came to live in the city when I was about 10, I brought a red Kelpie with me. And the poor fella used to round up the kids and round up the chooks and basically just be on a leash all the time, because he was rounding everybody up. My dad, who was a country man, said, no, you can't have this. So we had to put him on a train and send him back to the bush, which was a great pity. And then for a while, my wife, who had a dog outside in her house as a child, never inside, is allergic to animal dander, not to the fur, but just the dandruff. And so we didn't have a dog through our children's childhood, unfortunately. We just patted other people's. But then my daughter decided to get, when she went out on her own, she said, well, I've waited all this time, I need one. And we've watched my wife, Diane, watched her change towards the dog, even though she has to take antihistamine tablets to handle it. We catch her out regularly, saying, you're a beautiful dog, Jed. You're a beautiful dog, patting Jed. And he is a beautiful dog. He's so smart and so warm. And one of those border collies too, who he just likes people. I mean, he just doesn't especially like dog. He would barely grounded a dog in his life, but he just likes people. His left hip was causing trouble for some time because he's such an active dog and runs so much. The vet also suggested he was probably in some pain. We don't know whether it's a operation from whether a hip trouble just that he was born with, but whether he developed it. And he just about 2 weeks ago had a hip replacement, and got to the stage where the vet was saying to us, look, we had him with some painkillers, and he goes to a farm once a week to run around with other dogs. A beautiful day, and he comes back exhausted from that, but he'd come back with a little bit of a limp as though it was hurting, and so the vet was very really convinced that the operation would fix it, would make it much better and also be painless. And at one stage, I think when my daughter came back after seeing the vet about the operation, she told me how much it was going to cost. And I said, let's put him down. And she laughed and said, yeah, sure, Dad, sure. And of course, that was never a consideration. He brings so much joy to our lives that we had to look after
him. See, one thing that will be good for him, of course, is what he loves to do, and that's go swimming, non-weight-bearing exercise. They don't use their back legs as much when they're swimming. It's front legs. And they do stretch their back legs out.
Hydrotherapy
is really good for him.
Thank you, Rob. No, any advice you've got, I'd love to do it because we're just a bit worried about because the scar, the stitching, we didn't want chlorine or something to infect it. But would you say a week or so's time?
I would think so. I think once you hit the 3 week mark, my dogs that have that sort of surgery do go into a hydrotherapy project, and you've got the pool there and he likes it, and if it's not too cold for him, he'll enjoy that. It'll be good for him, really stretch those muscles out and get him going again. As I say, it's non-weight bearing, ideal for him.
He's also the sort of dog, Rob, who if I went to your house, by nature, he would, if you'd let him, he'd like to go through and check every room out just to see.
He'd be very welcome, Ray. He'd be very welcome.
But is that standard, Rob? Is that what a working dog does like that, just go and check the environment out?
Yeah, they do. I mean, that's part of his job, make sure that everything's safe for you, everything's all right. They live in the world of smell, and they want to just check out every room, make sure the smells are okay. He'll know straight away if someone's scared of him. They pick up that in their smell, and then they get a bit worried. Why are you scared? Are you dangerous or something? They pick all that up very quickly. They pick it up, and they do. They just go through the house, have a look around, and but he's well behaved, well mannered, so he's very welcomed.
he's in that sense. I know I've seen him in a car a couple of times where we've done a long trip, and we haven't stopped to let him go to the loo quickly, and he'll reach that point where he starts to whine a bit and whine a bit more, and you think, hang on, he's got to go. So there's no way he'd ever do it in the car, but he certainly lets you know. But the other thing I noticed with Jenna's house is that if she's in the house and I go to see her, he'll bark with me coming in the side gate. If she's not there, he won't even hear me. He won't bark. He'll do nothing. It's almost as though, once again, there's no one to protect, and so he doesn't bother barking. But if she's there or the baby's there, he'll bark, at anyone who comes in. They're just so precious. I understand why, why people go from one to the other one when they pass, because as companions, they're unbeatable, aren't they?
Oh, unbelievable, unbelievable. Just unfailing love they have for you. All the very best to you and your family and Jed and his recovery. If I can do anything to help, please let me know. I'd be very happy to.
Thank you, Rob. I'll take your advice. I'm waiting to have a swim with him as well. But I will come back. If I need some help, I'll come back.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, mate, very much. Bye.
Okay, it's time now to talk about our celebrity breed of the week. And there's two of these dogs. They're both of the same breed, which is a Portuguese water dog. One is named Bo and the other is named Sunny. So, Rob, what is a Portuguese water dog and who owns Bo and Sunny?
Portuguese water dogs, fabulous dogs. Would you believe I inherited one recently? Someone, a friend of ours, an old, dear old lady passed away. And I have a lot of dogs written down in wills that I will inherit.
Oh, really?
She's not the first that's happened to. So we have now a Portuguese water dog ourselves. But the two you're talking about, in fact, Bo was often called first dog because he belonged to the Obama family and the first family in America. And the Obamas bought a Portuguese water dog because of their daughter, Maria, who had a lot of allergies, and they were looking for a dog that was hypoallergenic. Be a bit careful when you go out buying dogs that you are told are hypoallergenic, because it's not true. Not all of them are. Portuguese water dogs definitely are. They don't shed a lot of coat. They actually have to be trimmed off.
So how big can they grow?
They grow to about up to about 57 centimetres. In the old scale, that's about 22 and a half inches, nearly 2 foot tall. And stand with their head up even much taller than that. Very beautiful dogs. They have a special clip called a lion clip, where the hair around the chest and the head is left long. The hair behind is cut down short. People say, oh, that's just fashion. No, these dogs date back to the late 1800s. They come from Portugal, as the name suggests. Portuguese water dog. Yep, native to Portugal and love water, just as the name suggests. They were used for fishing in the fishing villages. Would you believe they did some herding? Not of animals on land, but herding fish. They would push the fish into the nets for the fishermen.
So they're good swimmers?
Swimmers. In fact, the breed standard calls for webbed feet. They have a slight webbing in between the toes, more than other dogs, so that they can swim, and they love to swim. If you have a Portuguese water dog, you really should think about a place where you could take it for a swim, maybe once a week or once a month, depending on where you live, because they do love it. They used to also do a little bit of guarding of the place, but not heavy guard dogs. Their most important job today doesn't relate to jumping in the water and bringing the nets in, or jumping in the water and herding the fish around, or picking up whatever was gone overboard, because they'd also jump in if a person fell overboard. They'd go and help that person come back into the boat or into shore. But their most important job, of course, now is a good family dog. And they do that very well. They are very friendly, love being with family. They just enjoy being part of that family. I think the worst thing you can do to any dog, and certainly with Portuguese water dogs, is just buy a dog and leave it in the backyard all the time. I'm a big one for open that back door and let the dog in. If a dog can't come in, you're just stuck outside. Why did you buy that dog in the first place? These guys love being with the family.
But one would think if you're going to buy a Portuguese water dog, you'd want to make sure you can, as you say, take it for a swim once every week or two, and sort of certainly have water as part of that dog's life.
And Bo does. Bo is the Obama's first dog. They bought him first. Named after Bo Diddley. Named because Michelle Obama's father was often referred to as Diddley because of his love of music. And so Bo Diddley, the Obama's dog, does go out swimming quite often and loves it.
Okay, there's an old saying we've all heard, which is, let sleeping dogs lie. Now, that saying actually goes back hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. I found references to it.
Really?
Back in the 1700s, the 1400s. But the oldest reference I could find is back in the Book of Proverbs.
Wow.
And it's Latin, but translated, it's along the lines of, he that passes by and meddles with strife belonging not to him is like one that takes a dog by the ears. So I think that's the origins of let sleeping dogs lie. Now, this is certainly a sort of convoluted way of getting into, why do dogs sleep so much? My dog just sleeps all day, loves a walk, but as soon as she's had the walk, it's straight back to sleep. Now, do dogs need more sleep than humans need?
Dogs look at us and say, why do you guys run around so much like headless chooks? That's what dogs say to me all the time. What's wrong with you people? Relax, slow down, you're going too fast. You've got to make the morning last. Dogs love sleeping because that's what they do. You know, they hunt for food, and so they will hunt in the mornings and then again at sunset. Why those two times? Because that's when a lot of animals go to the watering holes, or the other, you know, the herbivores are on the move at those times, and that's a good hunting time. During the day, sun's shining, why go wasting energy? You know, dogs very much a natural animal, more than we realize. And sleeping is pretty much a restful, not just a restful period, it's also a period of repair to the body. So they'd go and enjoy their sleep. It's very normal for a dog to enjoy sleeping during the daytime.
Now, if we as humans slept as much as dogs do, people would be saying that's unhealthy. We're not getting enough exercise.
Maybe, maybe not. Yeah, Mediterranean life is you have lunch and then you have siesta. Mexican life, you have lunch and then you have a siesta. Maybe we don't sleep enough in Western lives and run ourselves ragged and mentally drain ourselves so much. And this is could be the result of more diseases, mentally at least. Dogs know to conserve energy. There's no point. Why am I going to run in the middle of the day? What's the point of it, he says. I mean, there's nothing there to be done. If the family is out, oh, I'm up, says the dog. I'm with the family. I'll go where they go because the dog is, if nothing else, a pack animal, wants to run with the pack, wants to be with the family. So they'll take off and have a game in the middle of the day if that's what you're up for. If not, let's snooze and just take it easy and enjoy our lives. That's what a dog's thinking all the time.
Intriguing. Now, we are almost finished with our episode of the Doggy Pod this week. But before we go, remember the question we asked at the beginning of the show, which was, what is the oldest breed of dog in the world? Was it A, German Shepherd, B, the Irish Wolfhound, C, the Saluki, or D, the Norwegian?
Lapund.
And the answer is?
The Saluki. You'll find him on the sides of pyramids.
Exactly. You see those hieroglyphics and there's that profile with the long nose. That is a Saluki.
Thousands of years BC, the Salukis walked this earth and they still do now.
Okay, that's it for this show. Now, on our next episode of the Doggy Pod, can dogs be vegans? That's a big question. I know a lot of people are very keen that their dog become a vegan. Our celebrity dog breed is a Doberman Pinscher. Now, I know, Rob, you're going to say there's no such word as a pincer when you attach it to Doberman.
There isn't. It's often it's more these days referred to as a Doberman.
Just a Doberman.
Just a Doberman. We'll talk why the word pincer either came up in the name of the breed, but...
Well, our celebrity Doberman Pinscher, or Doberman, is owned by one of the most famous young women in the world. We're also going to get into looking after your dog's teeth.
And Dr. Rob talks dogs and long-distance romance with actor and presenter Luke Jacobs.
And a whole bunch of other things. So if you've enjoyed the podcast, the Doggy Pod podcast, please subscribe. We'll be back every week with a whole bunch of interesting new stories about dogs and looking after our dogs and a whole bunch of other stuff as well.
If you love dogs, why don't you subscribe? That's crazy. Of course they'll subscribe, Stephen. In fact, we're getting inundated now with subscriptions.
Basically, if you've got a dog, you should be listening to the Doggy Pod every week because you will learn an enormous amount. And you'll hopefully have a bit of fun along the way. Anyway, that's it for me.
Yep, and so don't go barking up the wrong tree, and I'll see you next week on the Doggy Pod.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.